It's the Toxic Talk Tuesday on Chris Fabry Live. Welcome to our program. Glad you could make some time for us here at the Radio Backyard Fence. Today, a different program than we anticipated, however, because of an event that happened over the weekend. Some of you have been through something like this, and my story today is probably going to bring it back. I was a passenger in a car that was T-boned at a busy intersection in Tucson, Arizona, and as it happened, I was not sure what the outcome was going to be. In other words, it looked like it was going to be really bad, and it was. More about that and lessons from a tow truck driver straight ahead on this scintillating real-life edition of Chris Fabry Live. Come on in. Go to the website if you dare, online, chrisfabrylive.org. You can see the link there to Facebook and Twitter. Like us, follow us. We'll put a picture up of the car, our beloved blue Honda CR-V that was new to us and gone so far too soon. Fare thee well, old friend. I haven't heard if it's salvageable, but I do have my doubts. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. Maybe there's a tow truck driver listening right now, and you will affirm what my toxic life coach is about to say, or a police officer. You can affirm this as well. Write the number down, 877-548-3675. Now here she is, this wonder beside me, certified building biology practitioner, former journalist, founder of Moms Aware, an organization dedicated to raising awareness and health about our environment, and professional blogger, the one, the only, Andrea Fabry. Andrea, welcome back to the program.
Well, just hearing what you said about this family and the writing too soon and they need to work through it is just, it's been 48 hours for us. We haven't worked all the way through this trauma of ours, but feel that we want to talk about it. And
we couldn't do what we were going to, because you were so excited about the standing desk and the how to get, you know, just the first program of January.
We were going to do how to have a healthier workspace. And yes, I told him last week, I am so excited. I'm so excited about this topic. I already prepared a post on light bulbs and standing desks. I was working on the safe office environment. I had so many things. And I was, one morning I'm like, I just can't believe how excited I am about this program and how prepared I was. And so on Sunday, I was actually recording a video of my desk for the post that would go with today, so people could see these little tricks I've learned and all this. And all I know is you just don't know what a day holds. And we all know this intellectually, but the phone call I got while preparing to shoot that video was just nothing I've ever heard before.
I would not have wanted any other professional blogger to come to the scene of an accident.
Well, first of all, I was wearing a shirt that said professional. I'm not a professional. I don't get any money from blogging, actually, by design and choice. But I was wearing, I don't know.
You don't have to tell us what you're wearing.
No,
shirt said professional blogger. And I looked up. And through there's a great big, you know, they send out the fire truck first. The fire truck is the first thing to get there. And then all the firefighters get off of that and the EMTs. And the police come at some point as well. So through the haze that I was in and through the whatever that white stuff is that comes out of the airbags, through all of that, I see walking toward us a striking young woman who's had a shirt saying professional blogger. And she was looking at the two cars that were in this intersection. And this is a major, you know, one of those big intersections where you've got multiple lanes going all the way through. And when an accident happens there, you know, it all comes to standstill or single lane. So you've got all the people then. And I've been there. I've been in the situation where you look on the side of the road and think, oh, those poor people. I hope they're okay. Got to get to my appointment, you know. And we were at this point now, we were the ones sitting on the side of the road.
So,
are you going to interview me?
Yeah, I would like for the listeners, before we talk about some of the things that we're going to talk about, I would like for the listeners to really understand the nature of what you just experienced 48 hours ago. So, you know, I don't know how much you want to describe about, you know, you're just being a good dad, and we're trying to get our daughter, who's almost 18, more comfortable driving in town, so he felt like, I'm not going to have her go alone. I'm going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you go to the website and you click on the link that is under today's the description, there is to read Andrea's blog about Chris's car accident. Please visit her blog, and you can click on that and go to Lessons from a Tow Truck Driver and see what I'm talking about. It was very placid, you know, clear morning. And here's my 17-year-old and I were talking about the memorization of all the things that, you know, she was just in something on Friday and as songs that she does.
She's a theater and songwriter. And
she's
yeah.
going to do a performance and, you know, all of these different things. I said, you know, this is really good, I think, for your brain to memorize these things. I don't know how you do it. And so we were kind of talking about that, and there were no cell phones open. We weren't using cell phones. The radio wasn't even on. And we come to the intersection, and she is in the leftmost turn lane, and we have a solid green light, and there are the intersection is clear, with the only exception of that being one white Ford Edge that is getting into the right turn lane, putting on its blinker. And so she begins to go into the intersection, kind of easing into the intersection. And what happened then was a kind of blur of the other driver decided not to turn right, but come through the intersection. And we were in their way. And so, as the police said, you know, if you're turning left into this, there is no excuse for this. You know, you were in a place where you shouldn't have been. And he was right. There were mitigating factors with that, of course, that I could tell you more about, but it's not really the point of this whole thing. And I remember she says, I said, Caitlin. And I don't remember saying her name. I do remember calling out to somebody else. And I remember the impact and then the moments after that of just the swirling of the stuff that comes out of the airbags. We were T-boned basically by the Ford and into our Honda CRV. Right on, if you look at the picture, it is right at the door where, and I was there. I was looking out that window. And one of the first things I remember is a voice of somebody saying, I think we got a fire here. I think we got a fire here. And then they went to the other side and opened Caitlin's side and her saying, I'm sorry. You know, that kind of thing. And they got her out and over to the side of the road to sit down. And they had a hard time getting my door open. Now, this is the police weren't there at the time. The EMTs weren't there at the time. This was a guy in a white truck who opened the door. He said, I think we have a fire. Well, what he was seeing is the airbag deployment stuff. And he yelled for somebody to bring him a pocket knife so he could cut me out because the side airbags, they have the window things. None of the windows were, crashed. There's no glass that came in, which kept my facial features as pretty as they are. And I just remember sitting there, and I told you this last night, because a friend of mine said, you got a journal of it, just write this down, write what you remember about it, because probably something else will come up. And they were right. And I remember sitting there after Caitlin went and I said, grab your glasses, Caitlin. She actually grabbed my glasses and I grabbed hers.
flew off.
Which didn't help me getting through the intersection, but that's another story. But I remember sitting there and saying, okay, all right, I'm alive. I can do this. Meaning I want to be there for her, you know, 'cause I know what's going through her mind. She's just, you know, really shaking and doing all that kind of stuff. I want to be there for her and I want to be fully there. And it took me a little while to gain because it was such a, huge impact. And the insurance agent said on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being a freight train and 1 being just a bump, how would you rate this to my daughter? And Caitlin said, I would say about an 8. And I agree with her. because there were, as I recall, it didn't have the radio on, but it also didn't have the window down. I remember no screeching of tires from the other. It was only, it almost felt like it was accelerating as we were hit. So let me stop right there. And you talked with the tow truck driver. This is the interesting thing. My professional blogger, shirted wife, was having this animated conversation with the tow truck driver, and he said some things that you said, I got to write this down. I got to say this. Let me take a break. We'll come back. You stay with us on, again, a scintillating edition of Chris Fabry Live right here on Moody Radio. Don't you dare go away.
Have a comment about the program today? Call 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-LIVE-675.
My toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry, is with us today on this Chris Fabry Live, and our program has changed. I apologize to those who wanted to listen and hear about creating a healthy workspace. We will do that. It'll probably be next month, so 30 days. Wait for your healthy. Do your research ahead of time and see if you can come up with some healthy things to do. But I was in this traffic accident. My daughter was driving. She's almost 18. She's 17. She's had her license for a few months. We've been driving together for a long time and getting her ready for, you know, doing the. And she's driven the route that we took a couple of days ago. She's driven that by herself and come back fine. I was with her. I was on the side that got the impact. Wandered to the other side of the road, sat down with her while the EMTs got there and were checking her out. And I don't know whether they thought I wasn't really a part of the group or the party, but one of them looked at my arm and said, hey, you want me to clean that up for you? I thought, yeah, okay, that's fine. You said this.
Then he called me at that point, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, I was wondering who to call first. Should I die? Not 911. And my guess was, well, I bet there's somebody else who's already called them. I thought, okay, what if my thought was, what if somebody comes by the intersection, sees us, and then calls you, and then you hear from somebody else? I don't want that to happen. So I dialed you up, and
Brandon answered, give mom the phone, and he says, I've been in an accident. We're okay. But I've never heard you like that. So disoriented. Are you serious? You know, remember the first thing I asked, I heard the sirens.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, no, we're okay, but this is big. And that was really all you could tell me.
Yeah, you said, how bad is it? And I said,
bad. It's bad. And my son had went to get my other daughter, and she was ready to drive me wherever. It's just everybody knew that this is not good. And so he didn't get a chance to tell me how the people were in the other vehicle. And I didn't want to call him back. I just knew I had to live with that. And, you know, I'm telling you, selfishly, I was just worried about her. Is she going to have to live with this?
Yeah.
And it's just how you are as a mom, and what does bad mean, I guess, and giving you the room to do what you had to do and feeling the same way you were, which is you can do this. Now, who needs to know in our family right away? And I don't know a lot. So just going to that scene and then seeing Chris in his bright red shirt and a wandering around circles around Caitlin, who's in a daze on the curb. And I could tell they were okay. And it looked like there was a family next to them separate, but they looked okay. So I started to breathe a little easier. But I did see those two vehicles, and it was, very sobering to say the least. So,
Is the driver of the other vehicle and his wife, I believe, from another part of Arizona. They were in town to visit their son, who's going to the University of Arizona. And that's why I say, I think You know, it may have been, take a right here. No, no, let's go up to the next one. And then they decide. We didn't have that conversation. The insurance companies will settle all that out. But that's my guess. And they were both taken to the hospital, I think, afterward and treated. And I don't know the extent of their injuries, but they were all ambulatory. And they, there's not a lot of blood or anything. But Caitlin had some lacerations because of the airbag deployment. I had a little bit of blood and just a lot of soreness. You know, when you get into a situation like that and your body is, we had a cooler in the back because I was going to go to a grocery store and get some, some meat type stuff. And the wheels were knocked off the bottom of the cooler when we got it out of the back of it.
It's amazing when you look at that. I mean, airbags don't always work how they're designed, but you just look at that picture and you know that airbag really did save you. Yeah. And
And from a head injury too. I thought, looking at that, I thought my head would have banged against something, and it did. Evidently, it didn't. Maybe it did, and I just don't know.
But as we were waiting, processing, I hope it's obvious we have not even fully processed this ourselves. I did go up to the tow truck driver, and I'm not actually that conversational naturally, especially in a crisis. I looked at him as he was asking us if we needed to get anything else out, I just thought about him and how grateful I was that he didn't come upon something like I'm sure he does. So I said, you must see some really bad things. And, it was as if he was just waiting, and he was quite graphic in his response. I've seen this and I've seen that. And I said, well, what do you see as the cause, common causes? And 15 minutes, and he repeated, and I felt as he shared this with me, he's been on this job 8 years. And before that he did repossessing of cars that weren't paid for. So it was a very different job than what he did now. But I just thought he needs a voice. And I said to him, you should teach a class to kids. And then later that day I thought, well, I'll be his voice then, because he was so clear and concise on what he sees. And if this helps anybody else listening today, then I'll take it.
Well, and here's the thing, filtering this through your decisions about cell phones and some of these other things, this really kind of bubbled up within you, because in the last few weeks, you've been in the process. You gave up your smartphone.
I did, and driving was a big reason. And it is the best decision I have made in many years on so many levels. I really was becoming beholden to it, and I was so intimidated by the technology, 2 years ago. I'm like, I can do this. I could. In fact, I really did. And I just felt like it was not good for my brain. This is a whole separate program, because there were so many reasons I gave it up. It took me many months to make the step. And I said to Chris, for Christmas, would you please help me get rid of my smartphone? Because I'm so intimidated going back to a flip phone, just the process of change and getting out of the whole thing system. And he did help me. And on Christmas Day, I have my new flip phone. So it's very at the top, and I felt like it was a bad example to my kids. That's what I had to get away from it. But the first thing that tow truck driver said, he looked at me and he said, a cell phone belongs in the glove compartment. And we all know this. We all know this. And this was not on our part of our accident. I don't know about that.
Right. We don't know what was going on in the other
car
vehicle.
And was he navigating with? And then who knows? It doesn't. Yeah. But the point is that was the first thing he said. And everybody goes, I know. No, that's where it belongs. And I found that with the smartphone, I was so tempted at a red light or, you know, to check in beyond just even being out and being feeling on call or whatever, just what it was doing, and then navigating and losing my brain function. I couldn't find my way around by myself. But that was the first thing he said. He said, I see it over and over. I see these teens and adults sobbing who regret that they were texting. And again, this is not news. This isn't anything we haven't seen coming as far as distracted driving and what we're seeing because of this. But we are giving our kids these phones and saying, now, please don't use this when you're driving a vehicle. And we're not, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a better driver, so I can handle it. I don't know what that's teaching our kids. Well, I'm as good as, I can do this. And I'm guilty. I talked on the phone when I drove. I'm here to have lived through that, you know, but I'm not going back. It is absolutely the best thing.
So the tow truck driver said, put your cell phone away, turn it off. You don't need. And the next thing he said, I just want to get to this before the break. You're never in a hurry. What did he mean by that?
He said it so many times. I just never forget his face. He's just such a pleasant, kind of a military type build, very strong. And just, you're never in a hurry. Never. Because you might not get where you're going if you're in a hurry. You're never in a hurry. Never. That's how strong he was. That was the second thing he said, and said it so many times. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And you guys weren't in a hurry.
No.
She was going to get there early. She was performing. But look what happened because of her lack of experience and young age. You know, the whole performance had to be canceled. There's so many repercussions. But this wasn't, you know, but how many times are we feeling like, if I don't get there, what? What if I don't?
What if you're late? Okay. Learn from that and start out a little earlier than the next time when you get. But I've felt that, you know, we got to rush. We got to get there. And I've had plane flights, you know, like into Chicago where I get, and we've got to get downtown before the thing. And you hop in a cab and, you know, you go as fast as the cab goes. How many times have I gotten a cab and not put my seatbelt on? That was one of the first things the officer asked. Were you both wearing seatbelts? Yes, sir. He didn't ask us about the cell phones. We weren't using cell phones, weren't listening to the radio, you know, all of those types of things that were going on. So we had everything going for us to make good decisions and still wound up, you know, in a world of hurt. And I guess my hope here today is not to rehearse, you know, what happened in this case, but to hear what this fella had to say who was on the scene. And you know what? I have to say, I have no idea who the guy was in the white truck. I have no idea who he was.
But who came and cut the airbag?
He came and got me out of there. I mean, we were in his lane. He wasn't going anywhere. Mm. But he was the one who came and got Caitlin and then got me. And he said, go over and sit on the back of my truck. And I went over there and I thought, why am I going to sit on the back of his truck when my daughter is over there? No, I need to, you know, it was just trying to figure all of that out. So I tell you the wonderful thing about seeing someone who loves you and that you love walking across the gauntlet, you know, I mean, that was a wonderful thing, as well as knowing that with, you know, it wasn't just the engineers at Honda who saved my life. I really believe, and Caitlin's too, I really believe there is more going on there. And we can talk about that as we go along here. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. 877-548-3675 is our number. Lessons from a tow truck driver today on Chris Fabry Live. You didn't expect this on a Toxic Talk Tuesday, did you? No, certified building biology practitioner and former journalist and my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry, hadn't prepared for this conversation, but here we are. I got into an auto accident. Both my daughter and I are okay. Bruised up, banged up, I don't know. Maybe it knocks some sense into us. I don't.
Traumatized.
I think you are more, as I hear your voice today, I think you're more traumatized in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's harder for the person who is anticipating all of this and, you know.
Well, we both are. I'm more, we're different.
Yeah.
Because I see it in you. I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
It's
harder for me, the emotional thing, and those of you who've been through this, the emotional thing of you bring it back up. I told my daughter this morning, I'm glad we weren't listening to the radio, because whatever song we would have been listening to, or, you know, a talk program, we wouldn't be able to get this out of our heads. But that's one of the things I've been doing with teaching her to drive is, okay, erase the distractions. We're going to get these out of here. We're not playing the radio. We're not going to have the phones out or anything like that. Let's just concentrate on driving. We can have even conversation sometimes can be distracting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and not having her drive with her siblings or friends, that kind of thing, for the first however much.
You know, she's our seventh driver. And that's how I started my article, because I haven't been able to function for 2 days, but I could sit down and write this because it's just a way of processing. You know, writing is a good thing. And plus, it drives me to be this tow truck driver's voice when I heard him. So, but she's our seventh, and we have some amount of wisdom about, you know, this process. But this is one aspect of parenting that has gotten no easier. You know what? The first baby, they cry through the night. You agonize. The seventh, she's crying. Well, that's fine with me.
It's happened before. It'll happen again.
Yeah. You know, you just, things get easier. You have perspective. This has never gotten one iota easier. And I don't think it can be. We are putting children behind the wheel when their brains don't even fully develop till 21 or more, and we know this. So we're trying to navigate this as a parent, and I'm so glad Chris went with her, because that was his instinct. Is like, I think she could use some more practice with me there, and you know, he's just being a good dad. And how do you teach this stuff when their brains just don't see everything? And when we as adults drive, have been driving for many years, you can't see how busy your brain is taking so much in, and it looks easy, but it's not.
And you know, we talk about the smartphone thing. I had somebody comment on the Facebook post that I had about, you know, the accident. And the comment was about, well, your driver's, I thought that I was driving at the time. Your driver's ed teacher, you know, I got to go back to your driver's ed teacher. Wasn't he the art teacher in high school? And I said, no, my driver's ed teacher in high school was Mr. Lambert. I still remember Mr. Lambert and the things and the stick that I ran over in the middle of the road. I said the art teacher's name, I can't remember. I remember he sold me my first guitar. And then I started thinking about it, and my first thought was, I got to get online and find out what his name is. And the pull to that, you know, let's figure out what his name is. But this is what the Siri has done, what the smartphone and what the internet has done. It has become our memory for us, our collective memory. And we go to it rather than to our brains and our experience. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to look that up. I'm just going to. And it's taken me a day. This morning, just a couple of hours ago, I remembered Larry Langdon. Larry Langdon was my art teacher in, you know, 10th, 11th grade.
He came sold to me, you
and
without
it theory. Came.
Yeah.
Yes. But what are we shortchanging ourselves with, you know, asking all these questions? And Don Henley died over the weekend, too. And what are those songs that Don Henley wrote? And you can get them. Boom. You just flip on there with the Eagles, you know, that kind of stuff. So I just say that because our brains are very powerful things, but we can short circuit them and not use them.
Then that's a huge part of why I got rid of my smartphone, and worth a whole program on that for what this process has been like in me, just me and my story, and how hard it was and the kind of process it was. And yet the freedom that I feel. And now, little did I know how good I would feel about that after this.
It was the third thing he said.
the third, you know, those, and I'm telling you, your cell phone belongs in the glove compartment was number one. Number two was never be. You're never in a hurry. You're not. But the third was, and these are some small things that I thought were so insightful. If someone waves you on, don't believe them. And the fourth was, when you're stopped behind someone, always make, it just came out so fast. When you're stopped behind someone, always make sure you see the bottom of their back tires. That's a safe distance. And the fifth was, pay no attention to people who honk at you because they're impatient. Because guess what? He said, they're going to go on about their day. And if you're in an accident because of their impatience, it doesn't affect them. No, don't do it. Pay no mind to anyone around you. They can be as impatient as they want.
I want to go back to the third thing. If somebody waves you on, don't believe them. You can be very, very kind, you know, hey, come, there's a road that I travel and there's a bank and then a grocery store. And it's really hard to get into the flow of traffic because you got to go past one lane to get into the middle, you know, that kind of thing. And I have been there where I've stopped short so that the people who are coming out of the bank or the grocery store can get into the lane and just go on, you know, just be kind. But there is there's an open lane beside me and you can wave somebody in and think, hey, it's okay to come. And they do that and somebody else is barreling down the road. You don't know everything. So if you are the waver in or you're being waved in by somebody, it's the onus is on you to make sure this is all clear. Yeah, I can go now.
And, you know, Caitlin was there while he was talking. At that point, she was up and sort of not as much in a daze. And, you know, this just rips your heart out as a mother that this is, you know, what she's going through. But she was listening at that point, and she, and he said, if someone waves you on, don't believe them. And she, like, raised her hand. So, and she's like, I was in an accident like that. And she was.
As a passenger.
Friend, as a passenger. Yeah. Her friend was waved on and trusted them and got in an accident. Yeah. And it was a minor, quote-unquote one. But she just, you know, yeah, because her friend thought, well, they're telling me to go. And the friend was like, well, I should probably listen to them. But even though her friend inside knew, can't really see everything. It was right. the youth.
Especially if it's somebody older to somebody younger. Yes. It's like, well, this person's being nice to me. I need to go ahead and do this. Because all of your life you've been taught, be kind to teachers. If your bus driver says something to you, you know, all those things kind of condition you to say, oh, it must be okay to go. I'll go.
Him to raise that quickly in our conversation, I thought was so interesting.
Can I say this, though? We're talking a lot about younger drivers. I don't think it's a younger issue because this pay no attention to people who honk at you because they're impatient. That gets to me. And I've been driving, you know, since dinosaurs roamed the earth. And it, you know, somebody said honks. It's like, I don't want to inconvenience them. I guess maybe I can pull out a little, you know, and you start being influenced by this culture around you that is so intent on being, you know, go ahead, take the risk. You can get out there. And for you, Jerry Jenkins once told me, he said, if you really want to get honked at, drive the speed limit on the Dan Ryan Expressway on the morning in rush hour. He said he used to do this driving from the north all the way down into Chicago. And he said, you wouldn't believe how many people are honking and zooming by you. And you're just driving the speed limit on the right hand, you know, in the far right lane. There is this incredible crush and push to get there, to go fast, to take the chance, even though, well, it's not that clear. You'll make it. Don't do it. Yeah, he's got two other things that he's going to say, and then we're all going to hug, right? We're all going to have a toxic talk hug. Mark in Ohio is a tow truck driver. He couldn't hang on. He says, I can't believe all the distracted driving I see. Probably 8 out of 10 people have their phones in their hands. And that's what I see. And it's not just, I mean, it's young people are part of this, but it's not just the young people.
No, if your parent is having you listen to this, and I hope they do, you know, I do want to talk to you as a teen who cares enough to be listening to this, who is conscientious. You know, our daughter was so conscientious. This was not an issue with that. It's there. Your brain as a young person cannot grasp the magnitude of what you are doing. It can't. But Chris is right. This is not about youth. We're all guilty of distracted. It's so easy to be distracted or in a hurry, or I'll just turn stations.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us get in and realize the magnet? And actually, I know there are some people listening and going, I went through something and you can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do see the magnitude every time. I'm not the same driver. But there are those listening who really identify with that. It's like, I am in a hurry, or I'm so tempted about my phone. I've done okay. And guess what? I did okay for 6 years with a cell phone while driving. I used to see driving as a chance to call my dad, and he would say, are you driving? And Dad, I got it. I'm on a really good part of the road. And, you know, I'm thankful that I made it, but no, I wasn't 100% there. And he knew that, and he's been my best teacher all along, because at age 90 the other day, he said, well, you know, I learned a lesson that stayed with me until now. And do I have time to tell his story?
Yeah.
His story was, I never knew this, and he had his permit back in, would have been the...
If he was 16, it would have been
30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably 1940s.
He was driving permit and went into a stop sign, knocked down a mailbox. Police came to the scene, but before police came to the scene, his mom got in the driver's seat and took all the blame. Never told the police officer.
Now is there a statute of limitations on that stop sign being knocked down? I hope 1940, let's see, was that 80 years ago? No, 70.
But
here's the other thing that the tow truck driver said to Caitlin, though. As I recall, he looked at her in the eye and he said, I don't think you'll ever do that again. This is a lesson for you, a lesson learned. And we've got a retired police officer who wants to talk with us. We'll continue right after these messages on Moody Radio.
Call Chris Fabry live now at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675.
This is Chris Fabry live. My toxic life coach is here. If I said that Don Henley had died, I apologize. He's very much alive. It was Glenn Frey who passed away over the weekend. Thank you, Dina, who wrote. So if I got that in error, I apologize. I've been in an accident. I'll be using that for the next, you know, few weeks, Andrea. Close the loop on your day.
Oh, well, you know, of course, as a young person, I was just like, rolled my eyes. He'd drive defensively. He was in the insurance industry and drive defensively. And, you know, I've thought more and more about that and understood exactly what he means. You think the worst about other drivers. This is not the time to think the best. So you're always thinking what somebody else might do. So I don't ever believe a signal, ever, unless I see the wheels turn and then maybe. But I never assume anything. And I really appreciate, you know, that value of how strongly he said that. And yes, your child may roll their eyes at you. No, that's okay. But, you know, finishing out what the tow truck driver said is, you know, just went over and over again, just stay in the middle lane. Please stay in the middle lane. This is when you can, obviously, and it's three lanes or more. Stay in the middle, stay in the middle, stay in the middle. And, you know, I know we know that, but it's just something coming from him. That is the best place and the safest place. If you're going to go through an intersection and you can be in the middle, do that. And, you know, finally, the thing he said most was, I know it's called accident. I know it's the word accident. It's not. It's preventable. See it every time. And you can't prevent it if someone else is off. So, you know, it's not like you can prevent.
Right.
But the accidents themselves, for the most part, are due to some sort of human error that is avoidable.
Yes. And if you're driving defensively, you know, to say that about our situation too, it could have been preventable from our vehicle. It could have been preventable from the other vehicle as well, but it happened. So now comes the police officer. Tim in Chattanooga is retired now. Tim, thanks for your service. What is your reaction to what we're talking about here today?
Well, Chris, I missed about 10 minutes of the show. I talked to the gentleman on the phone and told him that I was out of the show for a few minutes. But, you know, from what it sounds like, I'm just so very thankful that the young lady, you know, had learned a valuable lesson with this accident, and especially having Dad there to help reflect on the whole situation, help to temper the situation. So this is the best worst scenario you can have, because yes, nobody wants to be involved in an accident with a blunt trauma that comes with that. But yet to sit there and to come out of that, you know, hopefully totally unscathed, except for getting shaken up and bruised, to be able to go into your driving career knowing what the blunt trauma feels like, because many people don't know that.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Tim. Like. What would I had someone email me today and say, because they had been through a similar type of situation, and their first thing was, try to get back behind the wheel as soon as you can to work on your confidence for the 17-year-old or 18-year-old. Would you agree with that?
I would. I mean, it's like getting back up on the horse once you come off the horse. It's building the confidence as soon as you can, making little short trips, but definitely, because otherwise you'll learn it. It could turn into a monster if you don't approach this and work your way through it. So, yeah, I think that's very valuable.
We're going to go to the go get checked out by a medical professional, and I think I'm going to have her drive, or at least part of the way. Is that okay with you, Andrea?
I trust you.
She's a really good driver. She would have her license if she wasn't, you know? I mean, she's very conscientious. And it just, you know, it just didn't happen. Anything else to add to that, Tim?
No, just that, like I said, I think this is a great lesson to have a control situation, as much control as you can with a parent there, to have this to go forward with. So, no, that's it. I think your wife there, I think it was 15, 20 years ago, whenever I was a young patrolman behind the wheel, that I would listen to different programs, and I believe she was on the air during that. But I really enjoyed and appreciate both of you guys. I've talked to Chris program a time or two on occasion, once a month. I'll get through. But anyway, really appreciate you. But, yeah, very thankful you guys are okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Good to hear from you. This was a different program than we had planned. But I'm a big believer that you know, God orchestrates these things in ways to be helpful to us, and not just, you know, can we process this together, but maybe there's somebody listening today. I know that was your hope. Somebody be listening who need to hear what we're talking about.
Yeah, and if there's someone listening who already knows this, and I'm glad. And it's a reminder of, we all know this, because pretty much everyone listening is a driver for the most part. Obviously, those underage aren't, but... we're in the aftermath, and the place I know that I will end up with is how grateful I am, but I'm putting it out there that this takes some time. And those of you who've been through this, I'm not in any rush to, get there. I know where I'm headed, and that is a piece with this, no matter what had happened, because we all know that there's a bigger story, and in the end it's okay. But right now, 2 days later, as a mom, I want to be in tune with my daughter, and it is not easy for her. She is struggling. And a lot of the older kids have been calling a lot, and they just need to talk. Yeah. One daughter put her phone in airplane mode as soon as she gets in the car, and I am so grateful for that. She's older, very good driver.
An intentional thing, like Randy Carlson says. You got to make a decision before this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be distracted by this, because it's so easy to...
It takes that kind of,
I'm intent. Going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to focus. And if you've been driving for a long time, that can be even worse, because I know these roads. I've been through those situations. You can become overconfident. So all of that to say, I'm glad to be here.
I am so glad you're here, and I know our listeners feel that way. And thanks for even sharing it, you know, this soon after.
I always expected to hear the flutter of angel wings in a different form than the explosion of an airbag, but I'll take it. And again, thanks to the engineers who worked on that car that made it hold up. And thanks for listening today. I hope this was a productive, practical program for you. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries.